Morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. Matthew Hoffman is going to join me after 3 to talk about his latest screening for the Park Ridge Classic Film Series, and it's Spartacus, the uncut version, in honor of Kirk Douglas's 100th birthday. That's coming up later on. But right now, I want to welcome to my show for the first time. She's been on WGN before, but she's never been on my show. And she's lovely, and she's awesome and talented, and I had the unbelievable honor of directing her in the remount of Black and Blue.
Yes, you did.
And she is live in studio, and her name is Robin Coffin. Hi, Robin.
Hello, Nick DiGilio.
Welcome to my show.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, it's great to see you.
It's really good to see you.
We don't see each other enough.
I know. It's ridiculous. Yeah. The last time I saw you was in May at Amy Mann.
Amy Mann, when we went to go see Amy Mann.
Which was unbelievable.
It was so good. It was so good. I wept.
Yeah, oh yeah. There was a lot of crying.
There's this new movie called The Edge of 17.
Yes.
That's out right now. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of it.
It's tanking, but I think it's one of the best movies of the year.
Really?
Yeah. Hailee Steinfeld is in it, and she plays like this very angsty 17-year-old girl who's going through a lot of stuff. And but it is more than just a generic teen movie. There's a lot more going on. This is a really, really great film.
Why do you think it's tanking?
I think the timing, and Hailee Steinfeld's not a big draw.
Okay.
Woody Harrelson is the main draw, and he's not a big draw either.
He's
great.
But, he is great.
The reason I bring it up is because there's a scene, because she's very angsty, you know, and she's like got so many problems. Her best friend is like sleeping with her older brother, who's like the perfect older brother, and she's a dork and it's all that stuff. And her father dies early in the film, and she has to deal with that. Her mom is Kira Sedgwick, and she's a little nutty. So all this stuff is happening in her life. But one of my favorite moments in the entire movie is she's got a crush on this guy on Fate, and she wants to be friends with him. He has not confirmed her as a friend on Facebook, and she's in her room. And she's on the computer, and she's typing a little message to this guy, whose name is Nick, by the way. The character's name is Nick. And she's listening to Save Me by Amy Mann. And I was like, okay.
Okay.
Sold. I got it.
And that's all Nick that's needed.
4 stars.
Yep.
Listen, let's go back, you know, and talk about how you got started in acting. Was it something that you were interested in forever, ever since you were a little kid?
When I was in 5th grade, I declared to my family that I wanted to be an actor.
Are you from here?
I grew up in Downers Grove.
Downers Grove. Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yep. My uncle Ron was an actor, and we would go see him a lot, and it just made sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I saw Dead Poets Society.
Ah, okay.
And that was it.
Yeah.
Robert Sean Leonard's character just totally made sense, and it was inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to be an actor, and my family went, okay.
So 5th grade, did you do plays in children's theater and stuff like that?
Once I got to junior high, I started doing shows. My very first role, I played a rapper in the musical because I can't sing. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep. That happened.
If you could see the lovely Robin Coffin, you would also be giggling a little bit about her playing a rapper.
It was pretty awesome.
What was the name of the play?
Video to Go. It was a video store. And
Video to Go.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember any of your numbers?
No. All I remember is at the very end of the play, I had a rap number, and I ended it with, Word to Your Mother.
Wow.
Yeah. Because, you know, Ice Ice Baby was all
sure.
the rage then.
Sure. Sure.
So, yeah, it was a hit.
Yeah.
It was a hit.
Yeah.
For sure.
Now, did you gravitate towards comedy? I mean,
yes.
The stuff you do on Chicago Fire is not comedy.
No.
Clearly.
No.
Not at all. You've had some pretty heavy stuff happen on that show. But did you always want to make people laugh in theater?
Yeah, comedy just that's where I gravitated towards because it just always, again, it always made sense to me.
Yeah.
It was just, I've always been a funny, quirky little gal.
Mm-hmm.
And comedy was just where I went, you know. So I did speech team in high school, and I did humorous interp and humorous duet acting in state and all that good stuff. So it started becoming very apparent that I was funny.
Where'd you go to college?
I started at College of DuPage, and then I graduated from Columbia.
Oh, you went to Columbia. Like many factory theater vets.
Yes.
are from Columbia. We had an insurgence of Columbia in like the mid-90s,
mm-hmm.
like around 94 at Factory, 93, 94. And it kind of all started with Alive. Like a bunch of, like half my cast, well, there were only six of us in it, but half of the cast were from Columbia.
Was that like Christine Jennings' time?
Yeah.
Like
oh, yeah.
Shannon
oh, yeah. And, yeah. Oh, yeah. Ryan Oliver, all those guys, they all, it was just a, you know, ton of people who came in. Mazzara, Jerry Halava, all those guys. Yeah. So, but, yeah. And Walker, he went to Columbia as well.
And I coach Jerry's child, Maya.
You know, I understand she's amazing.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah. For those of you, Jerry Halava is an actor that I've worked with many, many times. Brought him into the factory when I was doing my play 22 years ago called Live.
That's crazy.
Isn't it nuts? And then he played Dick in the stage version that we did of High Fidelity called The Vinyl Shop. His wife is Wendy Avon, who they met at the factory. Like many, we've had a lot of couplings at the factory over the years.
A lot of couplings, a lot of babies.
A lot of babies. And they have a child, and I've been keeping track of her. She's how old is she now?
She is 13.
I know. 13?
Yeah, and she's beautiful, and she's the nicest child, and she's so talented.
Yeah, I hear nothing. I mean, So, listen, we got a break here for the news. Okay, Robin, hang on. We'll come back. We'll go talk more with Robin Coffin. And we got a ton of stuff to talk about. We got a benefit at the Factory Theater. We got Chicago Fire and a lot more to talk about. But we got a break. Here's the news coming up after this. All right. Morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 o'clock. A little bit later on, Matthew Hoffman is going to join us to talk about his screening of Spartacus. But right now, actress Robin Coffin is in studio with me. Hi, Robin. Welcome back.
Hi.
We were just chatting off the air. Robin needs to catch up on some movies, Robin.
I do. And
we were talking about some of the great movies. I told her La La Land was amazing. I watched La La Land, and it's amazing. And you're a Paul Dano fan, and I was just telling you off the air, you got to see Swiss Army Man.
I do. When did this come out, this Swiss
Summer.
Army Man?
Yeah.
Summer.
It was like
okay.
in July?
Yeah, I'm so out of the loop.
Yeah. Now, you're in SAG, so you should be getting some screeners, right?
I will, yes.
Okay, you'll probably get... I got Swiss Army Man. They sent that out.
Okay.
So you'll probably get that one.
It's always great when those screeners come.
It's awesome. I got home from work yesterday morning, watched my Johnny Carson, which I do every morning.
Which you do every morning.
And then popped in La La Land and just sat on the couch and cried. it's an unbelievable movie. It's an unbelievable movie. So, all right, let's get back to. So, upon graduating from Columbia, did you immediately start auditioning?
Yeah, I was very, very lucky. Columbia has a showcase, a senior showcase where you do a scene. And I did a scene from Proof and Stuart
Taylor. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, it was rough. Yeah. It was rough. Yeah.
I saw that with Jennifer Jason Leigh on Broadway.
How was she in that?
Terrific.
She's, she's never been one of my favorites.
But is that right, really?
I have gotten a great appreciation for her.
Yeah, I love her.
She's... I think in my older years, I'm getting an appreciation from anymore.
Have you seen Hateful Eight? The Terrence
yes.
Movie? Yeah, I loved her in it.
She was awesome.
Yeah.
That movie was not my favorite.
That's a very divisive movie. There's no question about it. I happen to think it was great, but yeah, I can understand it.
Sam Jackson, can do no wrong.
I know, I agree.
He's truly unbelievable.
So you did a scene from Proof.
I did, and Stuart Talent was in the audience, and the next day they called me and asked me to come in. And I did, and I signed with them, and the rest was history. That was in 2002.
Okay.
And then I booked my first national commercial very soon after that.
Well, now, for people who are listening, who are actors, are getting pissed off right now.
I know.
I just want you to know that.
It's so unfair. I know. I'm like the luckiest human in the world. I know. Yep.
So what brought you to the factory? Because I had made my departure from the factory in 2000. I left the factory at the beginning of 2007. That was my second tenure with the factory. I was with the factory
that happens a lot.
Like 92 to when I got divorced from one of the ensemble members who decided to stay, so I lost my theater company.
You lost the dog.
I lost the dog, yeah. And I was AD of the company at the time, and I left in 99, flopped over to the Hypocrites and worked with them for a few years until I was asked to come back to the factory, where I became AD again for 4 years.
Yes.
But I left in 2007, so how soon after I left did you do your first show?
I moved back from Seattle. I lived in Seattle for 4 years, and I moved back to Chicago in 2009. Mm. And, you know, I've known Corey and Sarah for...
Who were both on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I've known Corey for 22 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, I started getting myself in the world again, because I was not an actor in Seattle. So...
Why'd you go to Seattle?
I got married and decided it would be a great idea to just leave. So yeah. I was a manager at Starbucks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know that about you.
Yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah,
that married thing is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a
That's great.
Total
I've only
blast.
Done it twice. It's fantastic.
It's really great. Yeah.
So you came back here in 2009.
I came back.
Yeah.
And just got my life back together. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a show with Silent Theater Company at the Prop and heard tell about this crazy factory.
Mm-hmm.
Folk that, mm-hmm. that were running around and screaming. And of course, you know, Corey and Sarah were involved. And so I went to a party. I went to one of the opening night parties. It was Hay Dancing at the time.
Yeah. They'll tell you something. The factory knows how to party.
Oh, man.
Jeez.
We do some doozies.
Yeah.
And then I was working at Pettirino's wearing a tuxedo selling $18 grilled cheeses to judges. And Tim Amos and I were polishing silverware one morning. And he said, "Are you funny?" And I said, "Yeah." And mm-hmm. He said, "Do you want to audition for Factory?" And the next day, Colin Milroy called me, and I got cast in Easy Six, and that was my first show. And mm-hmm. then I did White Trash Wedding.
Yes, you did.
I did.
And I'm the original director of that show back in 1995. And the day I saw it, I think I went to a Sunday matinee, if I'm not mistaken. You played Aunt Shirley. Aunt Shirley is, I think, one of my favorite parts ever in the history of the Factory Theater, originated by Amy Seeley. You came out, and there's a scene where Aunt Shirley is going to vomit. There's a lot of vomit. There's a lot of semen. There's
uh-huh.
a lot. It's just there's a lot of everything in that movie.
It was a very inappropriate show. And now, mind you, I'm wearing a gold lamé dress at
yes.
this point.
Yes.
And I needed to vomit.
And you ran out. And what we did in the first production, I had Amy like go up to the first row. Because at that point, we've already established that actors are vomiting on stage.
Yes.
It was important because at one point, Michelle Sufferton comes out and she throws up. Here's on the dinner. And she throws up on the dinner. So we've established that actual, like, you know, whatever we use, like beef stew or something, was going to come out. So by the time Aunt Shirley comes out, I had to hear her go out into the audience to fake like she's going to vomit, and people would freak out because
oh, yeah.
we've already established actual vomit on stage.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I had my cheeks were blown up. So it looked, and I was doing the,
mm-hmm.
and yeah, I
And you came right up to
and
me.
I came yep, I sure did. I had your number, buddy.
Yes, you did. You were hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
You were hilarious. It was weird to watch that show, you know, and not have directed it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was weird. But Scott directed it, and he did a great job. And you were great in it.
It was an amazing experience. So. And then I became, actually, the day I had my Chicago Fire audition, I became a Factory Ensemble member.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's a special place, don't you think?
It's very special.
Yeah.
It's an amazing family. I love every single one of those people.
Yeah.
And I just, it's a joy.
Scott, you know, Scott and I have been friends for 30.
A million years.
30-something years. And we were roommates. When I first started with the Factory, we were living together.
Oh, God, I would love to be a fly on
and,
that
oh, my God.
Ugh.
Yeah. You know what movie we would watch constantly? And Esmeralda. By the way, Esmeralda Leon is in the traffic hut. That's her. She's awesome.
Hi, Esmeralda.
And, but I tell her, I've told Esmeralda, I've told you this, you know, the movie that we would, there were a lot of movies that Scott and I would get drunk and then watch.
In your underwear, I would imagine.
Probably.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
But Esmeralda always finds it endlessly amusing that there was one particular movie that Scott Oaken and I would watch on a regular basis. Esmeralda, why don't you tell Robin which movie it was?
Mumbo Kings.
We used to watch the Mumbo. Just picture me and Scott drunk. Mambo Kings over and over and over.
Oh my gosh! Not Animal House or you
Mambo
know,
Kings. We had other, you know, we had the generic stuff. We had your Caddyshacks and all that stuff,
of course.
But the movie that was like it was me and Oaken was for some reason we just latched onto Mambo Kings, and we'd get drunk at the bar of the North Woods. We'd stagger home. We'd want to watch Mambo Kings. Hell yeah! I know you're picturing it right now in your head.
Wow, what's happening in my brain right now is magical.
So, Chicago Fire.
Yes.
Tell everybody who you play. Everybody knows who you are on the show. Tell everybody who you play and all that cool stuff.
I play Cindy Herman.
Mm-hmm.
I am the wife of Christopher Herman, who is played by David Eigenberg from Sex and the City,
mm-hmm.
who is the most wonderful human being you'll ever have the pleasure to meet. I have 5 kids on the show, which is just so funny.
Yeah.
Because I don't have kids at all. I just play this very lovely, adorable woman who's very supportive. And I really appreciate what we stand for on the show. We have a very loving, nurturing, great relationship. We were high school sweethearts and we got married. So
yeah.
I just like what we stand for.
You're great on the show.
Thank you.
I just think you're great in general, but you're really great on the show. And people, you know, if you watch Chicago Fire and if you want to call in or text or something, Robin is here. It's 312-981-7200. And you got the gig, right? You got the gig after you were a Factory Ensemble member. When did it?
It was 2012. I went in. I actually have a really crazy story about the audition for this.
Okay.
I went in. Audition. There were 5 of us that got called in. They had looked in LA and New York and they couldn't find her. It was very important that she had that Midwest feel.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in. There were 2 scenes that we had to learn. And we got there and the director said, "We're going to scrap all that. We just want you to improv." So they gave me 3 interns to improv with.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So that was like, okay. All right. Let's do this.
Yeah.
And then I left that office and they put me on hold, which is what they do in the business when they're interested in you. They want to hold your time, basically. And then I left for Seattle 2 days later. I was going on a trip. Monday morning, my agent called me and said, "They want you back in the office. They want to see you do the other scene." And I said, "I'm in Seattle." And she said, "Oh, crap.
Yeah.
Do you have a cell phone?" And I said, "Yes." And she said, "Do you have a reader?" And I looked at my boyfriend at the time and I said, "Yes." And so we did the scene. It was a car scene.
Over the phone?
On a cell phone.
Oh, my God.
And then I sent it to the casting director, and she sent it to NBC. And then I got it.
That's insane.
It was crazy.
I
had more anxiety because I was like, I blew it. I blew it. Like, there's no way. It's not going to happen. Because it was between me and one other lovely lady. And it happened. So...
That's a crazy story.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. I've never heard anybody auditioning over a cell phone and then getting it. Again, every actor right now listening is pissed off at you. just wanted to let you know.
Just keep remembering that you are hated. Right
well,
now.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
When do you guys go back? Do you guys go back to filming soon?
I'm actually filming on Thursday.
Okay.
I was on last night.
Yes, you were on the show last night.
On the 100th episode.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Yes.
So I film on Thursday. I was supposed to host the Shameless Ball at the Factory, but I got booked for Fire.
Oh, no. So you're not going to host it.
I'm not. Corey is stepping in.
Corey is stepping in
with Eric Roach.
With Eric Roach.
Yes.
Who is hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
And crazy.
So funny.
So, all right, hang on. We have to break.
Okay.
And I want to hear more from you. I want to talk a little bit about what it's like to work on Chicago Fire.
You got it.
And the crossover episode that you guys did. PD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a fun one for you.
Med.
Med. Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, it was Med.
Well, there's so many of them.
I know.
Now.
There's.
Like, they should just change the name of the city to Dick Wolfland.
The man with the Midas touch.
That's right. Dun, yes. Dun, 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 dun. All right, hang on, Robin. We'll take a quick break. Robin Coffin is here from Chicago Fire, terrific actress. And we will give you the details, even though she's not going to host it. We are going to give you the details on the Shameless Ball. Yeah, more. Okay, we got more coming up right after this on WGN. Right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Robin Coffin, a person that I love, is here live in studio.
I love you, too.
Well, thank you, Robin.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. What is it? How much fun is it to work on Chicago Fire?
Oh, my gosh. It's a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the gift that keeps on giving, mm-hmm. you know? I will be doing my 26th episode. On Thursday.
God, congratulations.
Thank you.
That's cool.
But it's a blast, man. Yeah. You know, every single person on that set is an amazing human being. They do not hire people on that show that have attitude, that have a bad rap. You know, like, if you're going to be a jerk, you're not going to work on that show.
Right.
It's not going to happen. So everyone is just kind and good to each other.
And the one thing, there are many good things about the fact that Dick Wolf has opened up shop here and is doing these shows. Mm-hmm. One, they're hiring a lot of my friends.
Yep.
A lot of people in the business who have struggled and who weren't making any money are getting regular gigs because of this.
It's pretty incredible.
It's actually kind of amazing what's happening. And I think it all kicked off with Dick Wolf coming here.
Yeah.
There are so many. Empire.
Yep, which I just did an episode.
You did an episode of Empire.
I did,
yes. Tell us about that.
It was wild.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Because Sarah's a semi-regular
yes,
on that show.
Yes, yeah. I think she's done 6 episodes
yeah.
now. I played Dr. Francine Katz. I was a therapist
mm-hmm.
to the family.
No.
So I had a scene with everybody
oh,
in the
my
family.
God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
See, I don't watch the show, so I didn't I didn't find out until you were on it until afterwards.
Well, I don't know that it's aired yet. I'm on episode 10.
Oh, so okay. Well, then maybe I will watch it. Okay. All right.
I shot the day before the election, which we don't need to talk about that week.
Yeah.
Yep. So, but it was fun. It's a very different set. It's a totally different vibe. But it was great. They were very kind to me.
Mm-hmm.
I held my own.
Yeah.
You know, it's always really intimidating being on those sets because there are famous people that are of the scale of famous that
yeah.
you're like, wow, Terrence Howard.
Yeah.
Really famous.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'm at that point now where I can hold my own and I feel confident. And
well, you're not starstruck. It's, yeah.
No,
yeah.
no. And
you can't be.
You can't be.
You can't work with them if that's the case.
No, this is your job.
Yep.
And you have to remember that you deserve to be there too, right?
That's true. Yeah,
that's
true.
A big part of it.
So in addition to Empire, the Chicago meds and the PDs and the laws and the fires, The Exorcist is filming here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen bunch of people that I know on that show. Michael Patrick Thornton was on
a couple of weeks ago. Yes, he was.
And I think that show is horrendous, but I watch it every Friday. Oh, I hate it. But it's one of those. I think it's absolute trash. I watch it I watch it every Friday night.
Every Friday.
Friday night I watch it, and I sit there and I go, "What the hell is this?" And I don't turn it off.
Now, why do you think it's trash?
I happen to be. you got a cough button.
Did I press it?
No.
Oh, I thought I did.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, okay. Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's all right. Sorry if that was really loud.
No, okay. I heard it. Maybe it's through my mic I heard it.
Well,
I have a very powerful mic.
I think so. Maybe it's actually a cough button.
Maybe it makes the sound of a cough when you press it. Anyway, I happen to be a massive fan of the source material. I love Blatty's book.
You did a screening of it in October, which I was at.
You were there. And
it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Amazing movie.
Yes.
And that was a great turnout. That was fun that night. My mom was freaking out. She had her hood over her eyes the entire running time of the movie. She saw it in 1973 when it came out, and I was at home. I was actually at my best friend's house, and they were kind of babysitting me when my parents went, and they came back, and I remember because it played at the Gateway Theater, which is now the Copernicus Center in Jefferson Park. I played the Gateway
Theater.
You
totally grew up here.
Yeah, I did.
On Addison.
Oh yeah, right by Wrigley.
Yep.
And so they went to go see it. They waited 2 hours in line to see it, which was the thing back then. Like
yep.
they would wait in line for movies, and they waited 2 hours, saw the movie. My mom was traumatized.
Which a lot of people were. Didn't you say church attendance raised by like
600%? Right through the roof, yeah. Yeah.
People were passing out.
Yep. There were nurses on duty. A guy died of a heart attack during one screening of it.
This is so crazy.
It's all true. And so I became obsessed with it. My dad took me to see it without telling my mom. Because at this point I had seen all the, you know, I was 8 when it came out. So I was 8 years old. And this
perfect
point,
movie to take an 8-year-old to.
I had already seen a bunch of horror movies, mm-hmm. R-rated, very inappropriate stuff. My parents started taking me to R-rated movies when I was about 4. It didn't. But my mom forbade my dad. He's like, after they saw it, she's like, you are not to take our son to see this movie. And I kept bugging my dad. He's got to take me. You got to take me. I want to see it.
Yeah, of course you have to see it, right?
So we told my mom we were going to go see like the Apple Dumpling Gang or something, some Disney movie.
And she bought that?
Yeah, she did. And my dad took me to see The Exorcist, and it scared the hell out of me, appropriately enough.
Yes.
But the punchline to this whole story is that we didn't tell my mom. I came back. I was scared. Didn't tell my mom. On the radio, I'm talking about it. 40 years later, I tell this story on the air about how my dad took me when I was 8. That's when my mom found out. 40 years later.
She was mad,
wasn't she? She was pissed off at my dad. She was like, you took him to see that movie? It's a true story. True story.
That's amazing. Yeah.
So I have a big connection with it. I just think it's a very, I think the TV series is very silly.
Okay.
And how they try to tie it in, like that's, you know, like Gina Davis is playing Reagan.
It's Reagan.
I just don't, none of it makes any sense to me. But, and it's just, it's like, hey, let's get the two priests are going to team up, you know, and, you know. And,
two hot priests.
I just don't, but I watch, it is the most compelling crap on TV. I just love it. I seriously sit on my couch like every commercial break. I'm like, what am I watching this for? Besides spotting my friends, you know.
Well, it's the greatest game in Chicago right now. Spot your friends on TV.
No question about
it. It's pretty awesome.
No question. What's the one that Smiley booked?
APB.
Yeah. When does that start?
January.
Yeah.
February.
He was on fire for a while.
He was
on,
yes.
Chicago Fire for a while. One of my best friends on the planet, Mike View, had a recurring character.
Oh, who?
He played Jenkins, the piss guy. He was, that seriously was his name. He came in.
That's a great resume.
It's on his resume. It's on Mike Spencer, Jenkins, the piss guy.
That's awesome.
He did one fire and one med as the same guy.
As Jenkins?
Jenkins, the piss guy. He was from an insurance company. He went to the firehouse to test everybody's urine for drugs.
Yes.
I remember
Jenkins, the piss guy.
That's him.
Yes. Yeah, he was great.
Yeah, he was great. And he worked with Stolte, too. And they've worked together. He's just, you know, that guy.
Man.
So, all right, hang on, okay?
Okay.
We have to break for the news. And you're going to hang out. Cool?
I'm going to hang out.
All right.
I'm here.
Robin Coffin is with us. And we'll tell you about the Shameless Ball benefiting the Factory Theater, which is happening tomorrow night. And we'll talk more Chicago Fire and more acting and all that. 312-981-720 for talk and text. We'll be right back. We're live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5. We're going to be talking about the most popular, what the number one toy was each year going back to 1966.
I love this.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little later. Coming up in a few minutes, Matthew Hoffman is going to talk to us about his screening at the Pickwick Theater of Spartacus. But right now, my friend Robin Coffin is with us, a terrific actress who you can see on Chicago Fire. And also, talk about your coaching gig that you have. You help people out and you also teach.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
I teach at Vagabond School of the Arts. I teach on camera. I teach little kids. I teach teenagers, mm-hmm. adults. And I started doing that in January. And then sort of out of that, I started coaching people. So actors come and see me if they need audition help, if they just want to work on something, if they want to work monologues, whatever it may be.
Now, you've worked with Jen, my friend Jen Bosworth.
Jen Bosworth was my first client.
That's
awesome. Woman.
I love her.
I love that woman.
I love her so much. She's a favorite here on this show and, you know, has filled in and hosted.
Yes.
Actually, you were on with her, right,
I
when
was.
She hosted? Yeah.
I was. I saw her solo show on Saturday. And
it was so – I saw it last year or 2 years ago, and it was great.
She's just an inspirational, fierce beast.
I love her.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah. So if people are interested, if we have actors who are listening, you mm-hmm. know, whether it's live right now or via podcast, because we have a lot of people listen to the podcast – if people want your coaching mm-hmm. to do, you know, on camera stuff and get advice and help you out, how can they get a hold of you?
I have a Facebook page called Coach Robin. That's Robyn.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Robin.
Coach Robin.
They can find me on there.
Okay, so go to Facebook and look up Coach Robin with a Y,
mm-hmm.
and they can contact you and go, hey, I need help. Blah blah blah.
Yeah.
Cool. Are you finding that gratifying?
It's very rewarding.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It's so cool, and a lot of the times we'll have a session where I'll tape people so they can watch themselves, which, of course, everyone's like, oh, God, because it's really hard to watch yourself.
It is.
But it's the only way that you're going to learn.
Yeah.
So seeing people have breakthroughs or just moments where they understand what they're fully capable of and what they're giving, and it's remarkable. I've had a total blast.
I've never done any on camera stuff. I don't even claim to be an actor, even though I acted with the Factory in like 900 shows. But
you're an actor.
When you do the audition stuff, and I hear this from all my friends, it's always the same people, isn't that right? Like you show up in the room, you're like, oh yeah, there you are.
Yeah,
there you are. How do you guys feel? Is it just at some point do you just laugh? Do you walk in and go, yeah, it's the same people?
Well, you know, the community here in Chicago is pretty amazing. It's really funny when you show up for auditions in the waiting room. They always have to tell us to be quiet because it's just one big social hour.
Like, right.
It's catch up and everyone's really supportive, you know, and so it's super fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, the casting directors here in Chicago, there is such a relationship that is fostered there that when you walk in that room, there is such support and they are just with you.
Yeah.
That so much time is spent just catching up and finding out how people are doing and what's going on in life, you know? So it's really lovely.
And then it's like, oh, that's right. I'm here to audition.
Yeah, I have lines that I have to say.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. I just love the stories where like Mike is a very, Mike View, my friend Mike, is a very particular type.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so he always sees the same guys because they all fit the same type.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You definitely find like, oh, and there you are. Oh, and there you are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Have you watched, I know you've been insanely busy with your coaching, and you have a podcast, too. Tell everybody about your podcast.
I do. One of my dear friends, Dina Marie Walters, and I have a podcast called Miss Cinema, where we talk about TV, pop culture, movies, and we have a segment called Movies That Everyone Else Has Seen But Robin Hasn't. Because I was raised on 9.5 weeks and Sid and Nancy and stuff like that. So, like, I only saw The Wizard of Oz when I was 32.
Oh, I see.
So,
okay.
I've never seen Grease.
Yeah.
So we have a whole segment.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. And is it on a certain, can people find it? Just like
you
on
can
iTunes
find us on
or
Facebook.
It's
Ms.
Facebook.
Cinema, M-S period, cinema.
Oh, Ms. Cinema.
Ms. We do have, you can find us on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we upload to SoundCloud, so you can find us
on
there.
Got
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Yeah. So you are busy.
I'm a busy lady.
Yeah, you're busy.
You're busy.
Trucker Rich has a text here that he has a message.
Oh, hi, Trucker Rich.
It says, I have a question for Robin. My wife and I love Chicago Fire.
Yay.
We watch it together every week. We were wondering if the scenes inside the firehouse were set somewhere in Chicago or if it's an actual firehouse that they film in.
Well, that's kind of a twofold answer. There is an actual firehouse that we do shoot at, but the interior of the firehouse, like the bunks and like Bowden's office and stuff like that, is set on a stage, if you're familiar with CineSpace,
mm-hmm.
which is at like 16th and Western over by Lagunitas over there. That's where the sound stages are.
Right.
So all of those sets are built in there. That's where PD films, that's where Med films, Empire films over there. It's a whole world that's happening there right now.
Yeah.
So the exterior of the firehouse, and a lot of the times when you see the truck, that's the actual firehouse, but then the interior
right.
is the soundstage.
Yeah, which is a common thing.
Yes,
you know, for you to have a set be the interior, have
yes.
something else be the exterior.
Sound reasons, safety, you know,
yeah,
everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's talk about the that crossover episode that you had with tell everybody what happened. And Chicago Fire, Chicago Med.
Yep.
A crossover episode. It was probably the juiciest thing you've had to do on that show for the entire 26 episodes that you've been on.
Yeah, it was really awesome.
It was phenomenal to watch you.
Thank you.
Just like sitting on my couch going, Robin! So what? Tell everybody about it.
My husband on the show, Christopher Herman, got shanked. He got stabbed in the back of Molly's. And which, you know, when I got the news of what was happening, I immediately was like, yes, because then you know that some good meat's coming. And then there's always the like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Is he? Oh, if he, then I'm. Oh,
yeah.
No. And so it was really great to see that we were continuing.
Yes.
Because everyone loves him so much. So, yeah, he got stabbed. And it was basically an episode of me reacting to that and being the loving wife and crying and hoping that he stayed alive.
Yeah.
And then we crossed over with Med because, you know, he was in the hospital.
Right.
So that was really awesome. So
yeah.
I got to work on that set and meet those amazing actors. And it was a lot of screen time for me.
There was a lot of crying. Yeah, it was. There really was. It was great. You were great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was terrific. But you're great on the show in general.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So, and that's on, tell everybody when Chicago Fire is on if they want to
watch. Chicago Fire is on Tuesday nights, 9 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You can check it out.
Yeah.
We just had our 100th episode. Which
Congratulations.
Is so cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what season is it on?
We are on season 5.
Season 5. You are going to get residuals, my friend.
Residuals? Syndication,
baby.
Syndication.
Syndication. That's what it's all about. You hit 5 years, baby, and yep. you get some money.
That's what everyone hopes for. Yeah, we all did a little cheer
That's
for that one.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
man.
I totally lucked out, man. Really did.
So the checks are just going to keep coming. Good for you, Robin. You rule.
Thank you. I can pay my rent. That's I'm fantastic. Real thankful about that one.
But it's also like, you know, like because you're doing some, you get, now you, you know, because you're going to have like a steady paycheck and yeah. or at least, and then you'll get residuals from that.
Yeah.
Good residuals too, because you've 26 yeah. episodes. It's a 5-year show.
Yeah.
You're good. You're yeah. all good. But that gives you the time to help all these other people that you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, the teaching and the coaching and all that stuff. So you're giving back.
I'm trying.
Yeah.
I'm trying. You know, this business is really hard, man.
Yeah.
And it's really great to have someone that has your back.
Yeah.
And gives you confidence and makes you feel that, you know, you are capable of this. Because this business is rough.
Yeah.
And it's hard to navigate it. You know, this business, so many people take it personally, which it's personal. It's us. It's who we are as people.
Right.
But there is so little that you can control. So the thing that you can control is what you do in the room.
Yeah.
You know, it's the famous Bryan Cranston quote, which I just shove down people's throats. Like, your job isn't to get the job. Your job is to do the work and then see what happens. You mm-hmm. know, and once you can let go of that,
right.
amazing things can happen because then you're just focused on the task at hand and not controlling everything.
The difference between stage acting and acting for camera is massive.
Yes.
And I don't know if a lot of people really realize that. When you first started doing cameras, well, you booked something really early.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find it takes you a while to adjust?
Absolutely.
Like if you're doing stage and you did a bunch of camera stuff?
Mm-hmm. That is the most frequent conversation that I have with people is trying to find the difference. I always explain it as the keyhole. So you're not performing for 300 people. You're performing for that little tiny keyhole view, which is the camera,
yeah.
right? But it's an adjustment for sure.
Yeah.
I took Jane Alderman's class. We just lost her recently.
Yes.
Which is so very sad. But, you know, she told us this is the only way that you're going to learn how to do this. You have to watch yourself. We're not going to talk about what you look like. We're not going to talk about the weird nose that you think you have or how fat you are or whatever. We're going to talk about the work and watch what transpires on there. And that's really the only way that you can do it.
Yeah.
You know? But it's vastly different.
Yeah, it is, and people need to know that. It's funny because like I know a lot of people who work a lot on the stage when they first like do camera stuff. It's big, you know, and the
there's
emotions are huge.
There's a lot of face.
Yeah,
there's face stuff happening. Here's my face.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just calming everything down.
I just want to say on a personal level, I had such a great time directing you.
Thank you.
In Black and
Blue. Oh God, it was a blast.
It was so much fun, and you did stuff in the. You made some choices that just killed me every time I watched the show. And my favorite moments that you had was when you came out and you were the Sox fan and the Cubs fan who challenged the two idiot brothers to a trivia contest.
Yes, I remember this very well.
And you made a choice to hate them so much. And I said, I remember during a rehearsal, we were rehearsing it, and I saw you make that choice. I just saw it happen. And I was like, oh, I love you so much for doing that. Like, you're this disgusting. Like, if they would, like, get close to the table you guys are sitting at, your face would change. Like, the inner monologue of the character was, these two morons need to get away from this table right now.
Or I will snap.
Yeah, yeah. And you grabbed your boobs during one of those moments.
I always like to put a boob grab in whenever I can.
Hey, as a director, I'm all for it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Strong choice, man. It's bold.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is. Well, anyway, you're great on camera and you're great on stage, Robin.
Thank you.
And so check out Coach Robin with a Y on mm-hmm. Facebook and watch her on Chicago Fire. We're going to take a break.
Okay.
We're going to come back. And then we're going to talk about the Factory Theater Benefit.
Sounds great.
Okay, cool. Robin Coffin is here. And you can check her out on Facebook as well and see her every Tuesday on Chicago Fire. All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And after 3:30, Matthew Hoffman's going to join us to talk about his very cool screening of Spartacus, which is at the Pickwick Theater. And we'll talk about that afterwards. And we're going to talk about the most popular toys from each year going back to 1966.
I just love this.
Yeah.
So great.
I was looking at the list, and and it's really funny. I mean, it goes all the way up to this year. And I looked at the toy for this year, and I have no idea what the hell it is.
What is it? Can you say? Or is that ruining
it? No. I said, you know, it is a Hatchimal.
What is that? What?
It's a Hatchimal.
What?
It's the most coveted toy of 2016. They won't hatch until January. Maker Spin Master just wasn't ready for the demand. And the Pengulas, Draggles, Owlicorns, Birdles, and Barrakeets will have to stay inside their egg until the new year. Once they arrive, they'll peck their way out with the help of their owner.
That sounds terrifying.
While not every year has an impossible-to-find toy, 2016 has two, the Nintendo Mini NES Classic Edition, complete with 30 nostalgic games, is also unattainable.
Huh.
So the Hatchimals, they're gonna break out of their eggs. And scare the hell out of everybody.
Really scary.
It sounds terrifying.
It's like a gremlin or something.
Exactly. It sounds terrifying. I don't know if you can feed them after midnight.
Yeah, don't get it wet.
We were talking about Christmas movies the other morning. Gremlins is one of my favorite Christmas movies.
I just watched it again.
It's a great movie to watch at Christmas.
It is. Yeah,
it's a great Christmas movie.
It is that and Die Hard.
Die Hard are great. It's great. You know, they're doing double features at Music Box of those two.
They are not.
Yes, they are. I can't remember the dates, but it's a double feature of Die Hard and Gremlins, and they're doing it for, I think, the week before Christmas.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, my tradition is I always go see It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, at the Music Box?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And cry like a baby.
Yeah. My favorite Christmas movie of all time is The Ref.
Oh, it's awesome.
My favorite of all time.
He is fantastic.
Dennis
Leary,
Kevin Spacey, Judy Davis. And J.K. Simmons as Siskel.
Yeah,
it's a magnificent movie.
It is.
It's my favorite. And we were talking about it the other morning and how Touchstone, the studio, the geniuses at Touchstone decided it would be a good idea to release that movie in April, which is what they did. See, the guys with the suits, they always make the good decisions.
They always have the right thing to do.
Before we talk about the factory, you're going to be back on the boards. On the stage there.
Yes, I am.
At the Raven. Which
Theater.
Is where we did Black and Blue.
Yes. I believe I'll be in that same.
In that same space.
Yeah.
Cool. Tell everybody what the show is.
It is a world premiere called Sycamore. Mm-hmm. It's a New York playwright. It's an amazing show. I did a reading of it in February. Mm-hmm. Devin DeMaio is directing it. And she kept myself and my husband is played by Tom Hickey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that guy.
That guy, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
He's okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's a very important play. It deals a lot with gender issues and identity issues, and I'm really, really excited.
When does it open?
March 13th.
Okay, so you got some time.
Yeah.
So that'll be in March. You can go to raventheater.com and check out the website for all the information there. Are you excited to get back on the stage?
I am so excited.
Yeah.
It's been about a year and a half for me. Because I just, you know, it's so hard with fire and commercials and everything happens so last minute.
Yeah.
But they've been so lovely about understudy and they just totally get that this is what I do. You know?
I remember when we were doing Black and Blue, you got a call back for Fargo.
I did.
Yeah. I remember we were talking about it backstage one performance about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that show turned out to be pretty kick-ass.
Sure did. And the girl that got the part, Allison Tolman, is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Nicest human being in the world. And it changed her life.
Yeah.
It totally changed her life.
Yeah.
But went in for Fargo.
Yeah.
That's a tough one. You know, everyone has that one role.
Oh, is it really?
I'm getting there.
I'm sorry to bring it up.
Oh my gosh, no. It's good to talk about it.
Oh.
It's good. You know, every actor has that one role that you're like, oh,
yeah.
It just hurts.
Geez, I'm sorry I brought it up.
Oh, my God.
I feel like a jackass.
Oh, Nick. No.
Okay.
Therapeutic.
The Shameless Ball, benefiting the Factory Theater, tomorrow night, Thursday, December 8th, at the Factory's relatively new space.
Mm-hmm. Open in March.
Open in March. 1623 West Howard, right by the Howard Red Line.
Yep.
It's at 8 o'clock, factorytheater.com for more information. What is the Shameless Ball? Tell me about it.
Well, you know, us at the factory, we are shameless.
Yes.
So we're holding the ball. There's going to be some acts. Eric Roach and Corbett Pasco are hosting. There will be food. There will be prizes. There's an auction that's happening. There's going to be dancing. Jill Oliver put this whole thing together with the help of Laura Reitzma. They've done an amazing job. Mm. And it's just going to be a blast because that's what we do.
Yeah.
So there's a dance contest and the acts are amazing. Chad the Bird, Maureen San Diego. We have a burlesque dancer that is performing. Mm-hmm. So it's going to get naughty.
And is there a ticket price?
$100.
$100. Okay.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be beer and wine and food and. It's going
to
be awesome.
There's, trust me, if you're looking to ingest alcoholic beverages,
yeah.
The Factory Theater is a good place to do that.
I thought I knew how to drink.
No.
And then I started working with the factory.
Yeah.
And now I'm a pro.
Changes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You learn things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've been steering clear of that because that's one of my, it's a little trigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been trying to stay sober. So
super proud of you, by
the
way.
Thank you. I got to stay away from the factory, and I miss
totally
everybody. I miss
man.
Everybody,
we
but
miss
just,
you. We miss you. But I totally understand.
It's a shaky situation. So.
You got to do what you got to do.
Anyway, so the Shameless Ball is benefiting the Factory Theater. It is tomorrow night, and these guys do great work, man. And I'm not just saying that because I spent 14 years with the company. I'm saying that
there's
because
a reason you did.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. I'm saying that because they're wonderful people, and they do really all original work. For God's sake, original work.
Yeah.
And
everything.
And under this umbrella are some of the most insanely talented people that you will ever meet.
Yeah.
And they're a joy to work with, and they're a lot of fun, too, and this is going to be a ball. So the Shameless Ball, tomorrow night, Thursday, December 8th. You can get all the information at thefactorytheater.com.
And that's E-R.
That's Factory right. Theater, not the pretentious E-R. British
yes.
Version. That's right, E-R. So yes. factorytheater.com. And we have a link on our Facebook page. So,
awesome.
Robin. Damn it. It was so fun having you on.
This was awesome, man.
And you can come back. I want you to come back anytime you want.
Oh, I'm gonna be here all the time.
Okay. I love you, man.
I love you too.
It was so great to see you. Robin Coffin, everybody. And if you need her advice and help and coach Robin with a Y on Facebook.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon.
You got it.